On last Sunday, we started in Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6, 6 and 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And verse number 2 starts off by giving you the answer to that question, or those two questions, God forbid, meaning Jesus against that. What the writer is basically saying is that because we are living during the period of time of grace, and grace is the Lord's unmerited favor shown to an undeserving man, Jesus, during the dispensation of grace, allows man to exist even when the man rejects Jesus. He has the freedom of choice to either accept what the Lord is saying or to reject him. And sometimes that can be a little confusing to the saints. A lot of times because we know the terror of the Lord. We know the judgments of Jesus. We know that Jesus can't stand sin. And we read all of the many different passages in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, how Jesus deals with sinners. And it can be a little confusing sometimes when we see so many horrible things still continuing on in the earth. You'd be wondering, you say, "Well, the Lord, you said you're going to judge sin. Why are all these things happening? Or why haven't they come to an end yet?" We have to understand the period of time that we're living in. This is a period of grace. Jesus is not, this is not the time of judgment. Now, every now and then you see a judgment come on different ones, but this is not the time for judgment to befall all of humanity, of all of creation, because again, this is a period of time of grace. Now, grace is where Jesus will allow the individual to continue for whatever length of time that he's allotted him, whether he chooses to do right or do wrong. Jesus will still allow the person to continue. And this is what Romans chapter number 6 and 1 and 2 is basically saying. Since we know Jesus will allow you to continue in your sin, should we do that? Should we say, "Okay, Jesus is not going to judge me, so I'm going to just keep on doing my dirt"? Scripture says God is against that. In other words, he's against that kind of an idea, that kind of a thought. He says, "How shall we that are what? Dead." Y'all see that in verse number 2? "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Now, the question you should be asking yourself is, how in the world did I die to sin? Or how do I bring a death to sin? You ask yourself that question, think about Jesus. Don't go to nobody else. Just think on Jesus. How did Jesus deal with sin? He died. He died on that cross. Got up there on that cross, shed his blood. And the scripture says that he did that for what reason? To pay sin's price. For your notes, if you go over to Hebrews really quick. Hebrews chapter number 2, I believe it is. Chapter number 2 and verse number 9. If you look at 2 and 9, and then we're going to jump down, I believe, to verse number 13 or somewhere around it here. What does Hebrews 2 and 9 say? "But we see Jesus,
who was made a little lower than the angels."
Now, we know angels, as we're going over in our Bible class, are spiritual beings. They're spirits. According to chapter number 1 in Hebrews, they're ministering spirits sent down to help the Lord's people, the saints. They're here to help us. Jesus has spirits that are out there to help us. Once the psalm writer said, he have them encamped around about us. In other words, you know how if someone was about to go to war and they say, "Well, we're going to go target this area." Or just say, for example, we're in Yaden. If somebody says, "Oh, the enemy is in Yaden," What they would do is they would surround the area where we are. Now, say, for example, if the enemy was in the graveyard over there, the person that is going to attack it, they would encamp around the graveyard to let the enemies that are in the graveyard know, we see you, and we on our way to come get you. So whether you go over to the north, south, east, or west, you're going to find opposition there. Well, Jesus is saying he realizes that the devil or bad spirits are out there trying to get us, trying to attract us into going down a path that will be destructive for us. You know, the wage of sin is what? Death. So bad spirits are out there trying to attract us to do things that Jesus says will bring death. And Jesus says, if a person wants to stay saved, if a person wants to go back with Jesus, he says he has angels out there that are encamped around about the saints. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? To know that you've got good spirits that are out there, that are hovering around you, there to do what? Protect you. Protect you and to help you. That's the true saints. Now, I'm not telling you that every good spirit ain't out there to dodge a bullet. Everybody ain't trying to shoot you. You know, everybody's not trying to stab you. But every now and then, a bad feeling may come over you. You know, someone may say something that really bothers you. Well, Jesus will allow a good spirit to get into somebody and say something that's going to be a help to you. Something positive. Something that's going to help get your mind back on track. You know, sometimes you'll be walking down the street and you'll be feeling kind of bad and down, and then all of a sudden somebody just smiles and say, "Good morning. How are you doing today? It's such a beautiful day outside." And it makes you, you know, your mind get back on track. Say, look, get up out of that little, you know, pit. Pick yourself up together. You know, it's a beautiful day out here today. You got something to be happy about. Well, Jesus will allow good spirits like that to come your way. Why? Because he realized that you're trying to be saved. You're trying to be sanctified. You don't want to go down the path that leads to destruction. Now, it's up to us to make sure that we behave ourselves like we need to behave ourselves, so that when those good spirits come, when those good messages come, those messages that try to help us, that we receive it. We don't reject it, but we receive it. Why? Because we realize that message is there to help us. That message is there to pick us back up and not to make us go all off and be feeling all jolly jolly and forget Jesus. It's there to help us to put our minds on Jesus. And the writer is telling us here that Jesus, as you know, God is a spirit. God is a spirit. How do you know that? Go over to Genesis chapter number 1. It says that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness moved upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So God is a spirit. Everybody understand that? Spirits don't have no bodies. Spirits need to get in a body in order to manifest itself. So when you read Hebrews chapter number 2 and 9, it's telling you God basically came from a spirit form and took on flesh. If you look at Hebrews 2 and 9 again, it says, but when we see Jesus. Now, obviously, if God is a spirit, we can't see him, right? Because in order for him to manifest himself, he got to get into something. But the writer is telling you, you can clearly see Jesus. How can I clearly see Jesus? Because God got in a body. God got in a body and he named himself Jesus. He named himself Jesus for what purpose? So that you and I could see him. That's the true saints. If you go over to Colossians, hold your finger there in Hebrews and go over to Colossians 2. Colossians chapter number 1. And when I say Colossians 2, I mean Colossians also. Colossians chapter number 1. Hold on 1 second. Let me get on over there. 1 and like 17 maybe.
1 and 17
reads,
but he is before all.
Jump up 1 and go up to 1 and verse 15. 15.
The image of the invisible.
There you go. Now, what did Hebrews 2 and 9 say?
But we see Jesus.
Uh-huh. Right? Uh-huh. And now, what did I say there? A spirit can't be seen.
Right.
In order for a spirit to be seen, it has to get into a body.
Right.
It has to manifest itself.
Right.
So Hebrews 2 and 9 is telling you, you can see Jesus.
Right.
You can see God.
Mm-hmm.
How can I see God? Because he got in a body.
Right.
He got in a body and he named himself Jesus.
Right.
When you see Jesus, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. In other words, God is a spirit. God cannot be seen. But the only way you can see God is you can see Jesus. When I look at the body of Jesus, I'm looking at the image of God. What is it? Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 15 say, who is the image? Now notice the wording. Notice the wording. It does not say the three. It doesn't say a plural. Who represents one? In other words, there's one image. There are not multiple images. So there go that whole three God idea. Father, Son, Holy Ghost means multiple, meaning more than one image. But it says God did not have many bodies that he got into. God only got into one body. Scripture says that when you see that one body, you got to see Jesus. Because Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And so if God had an image at all, it was Jesus. And when you see Jesus, you see God himself. God manifesting himself to you and to me. So that when I say, I just want to see God, God said, you better look at Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is my image. Jesus is God, right? That's right. That's the truth. But we see Jesus. We see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels. In other words, God went from a spirit form and took on flesh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the truth. Now jump back over there to Colossians 1 and 15. Who is the image of the invisible God?
The firstborn
of every creature. In other words, Jesus is saying, before I even formed Adam, before I even thought about Adam, I created my own body. Huh? But hold up, Jesus. I don't see your body. I see Adam in the beginning. According to the scripture says that he formed Adam from the dust of the ground. And he breathed into Adam the breath of life. And Adam became a living soul. The scripture also says that he saw Adam. He made Adam as a blueprint. Says, in my word, are all of my ideas, are all of my thoughts. In other words, he took Adam and he made Adam after a model. What model did he use? He used his own body. Scripture doesn't declare that Jesus is the first. He's not the second. Jesus is the first. He's the firstborn of every creature, right? That's the truth. And do you all realize, in order for God to say, let there be light? Come on. Look, let's think about this thing now. In order for God to say, let there be light, he needed a voice. And remember, spirits can't manifest themselves without a body. You can't hear a spirit unless it gets into a body. Creation could not hear the command to let there be light until God got into a body and said, let there be light. And when he said, let there be light, there was light. John says it like this. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the scripture says the Word, meaning the thoughts, the ideas of God himself, the Word became flesh. What did that flesh do? It dwelt among us. In other words, it came among creation. That means the body.
that's the truth.
Yes, he did.
That's how God
did.
Manifested himself.
Yes, yes,
huh? Yes, he did.
Yes, he
that's
did.
How he manifested himself.
Yes.
He manifested himself in the body of Jesus.
Wow.
Huh?
Yes.
That body called out to Adam.
Amen.
That body called out to Adam and said, Adam, where art thou?
Yes.
Adam couldn't see the body,
yes.
But he knew the presence, the power of the word.
Yes.
Power of the word called him out from wherever he is.
Yes.
That's just like you and I. We didn't see God calling us in our sin.
Yes.
Huh? It wasn't no man standing behind no closet door.
Yes.
But you heard the voice.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
You heard the voice speaking to you.
Yes.
Huh? Come on, saints, it was just like Paul. Paul said, when I was on that road to Damascus,
yes.
I heard a voice speaking to me.
Yes.
Huh? It was other people with him, but that voice was speaking to Saul by himself.
Yes.
Said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?
Yes.
He said, who are you, Lord? Who are you, the self-existent one?
Yes.
The self-existent one said, I am Jesus.
Yes.
Whom you persecute, right?
Yes.
That's the truth.
Yes.
How about you thank the Lord? The Lord bless you to be able to hear his voice. Huh? And you know it was the voice of Jesus. You know it was the voice of God himself. Because he brought you into the knowledge of truth. Huh? God didn't bring you into no three-God doctrine. He could have had you back out there in all that mess that's out there. Talking about Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Jehovah, and all, Allah, and all. You could have been in all that mess. But the Lord saw the sincerity of your heart. He saw that you were really serious about wanting your soul saved. So he brought you into the knowledge of truth. Lord, how do I know I'm at the truth, Lord? Because only a few are going to receive this truth. Everybody not going to get it like this. Everybody not going to know this truth. I heard a brother this week, many people, brother baptized in the name of Jesus. Brother talks about having the Holy Ghost. Brother talks about Jesus being God. But when he was talking to the people, telling them how to receive the Holy Ghost, he was using all of the right scriptures. He said, because the scriptures say, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door of the way will be made to you. He said, you've got to be able to seek the Lord with everything inside of you. He said, you got to go find opportunities when you're by yourself to seek him, to seek the Holy Ghost, to call out to God. But I kept listening, and I kept listening. I said, you're missing it. You're missing the point. Somebody is in there hearing what you're saying, and they're hearing you say, talk to God. Pray to God, and you got to look and seek after God. And I kept saying, but you're missing the point. What point are you, is the brother missing? He's missing a very key ingredient in you seeking after God. Huh? There are many gods out there. You need to identify who your God is. That's why Jesus said, whosoever shall call on the name. In other words, you thank the Lord. The Lord brought you into a place that is not ashamed of the name of Jesus. You hear that name in the songs. You hear that name in the word. You hear that name in the teaching. You hear that name in the testimony. Why? Because everything you do, you got to do it all through the name, right? Huh? You got to do it all through the name. Huh? You got to get to the point where you be in the car by yourself, sitting at the stoplight. You just, your mind just go, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Huh? That's why when you're talking about seeking the Holy Ghost, I'm not telling you to go somewhere and be having these long, drawn-out conversations with the Spirit that you don't even know is there. I'm telling you, you've got to identify who your God is. You've got to call your God by his name. You've got to humble yourself and say, Jesus, and mean it. Every time you say it, every time you say it, mean it. Let him know, Lord, I got a purpose. I got a reason to call on your name. I'm not using your name in blasphemy. I'm not using your name disrespectful. I am calling your name because I need you. You are the only one that can deliver me from this mess, right? What mess are you talking about? I ain't talking about your individual problems. I'm not talking about your individual issues. You got to go to the source. Jesus died on the cross for the source. The source of all of humanity's problem is sin. Oh, come on, she shall bring forth the son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save. Oh, he shall But you said you came to save, right? That's right. He said, I came to save you. Not save you from some of your sin, all of it.
Huh?
That's the truth. I want the Lord to lick up all of that mess. I want no trace of sin in my life. Huh? You don't want no trace of sin in your life. Why? Because the wage of it is death. Honey, you didn't come into the church for you to die. You want to die, stay on out there in the world. But you come amongst the saints because you want to live. Huh? You're saying to yourself, Lord, let my soul live. I'm telling you, life is in the name of Jesus. Life is embodied in the name of Jesus, right? That's the truth.
Yes, Lord.
Now lift up that name.
Hallelujah,
I mean, lift the name up.
You,
it ain't about how loud you scream it, but you got to mean it from the core of your heart. The sincerity of your heart. That inner man has got to groan. Huh? He's got to earnestly groan. Jesus. Realizing that everything I need is in the name of Jesus. Every bit of healing my body needs is in the name of Jesus. Every bit of healing my mind needs is in the name of Jesus. Anybody that can regulate my emotions, huh? That's the name Jesus. Huh? Can't nobody else do that for you but Jesus. That's why, I thank the Lord, that's why we tell you to stay on down there. Stay at that altar, keep on calling on that name Jesus until he endues you with power from on high. Holy Ghost comes from on high, saints. It's not of the earth. It comes from on high. It is divine. Huh? It's supernatural power, right? That's the truth. Holy Ghost is real. Holy Ghost is real. Holy Ghost knows how to get inside of you. I seen the Lord bend people up like pretzels. I mean, bend them on up. And let me know, the Lord letting you know, come on down out your high horse. Huh? Come on, saints, it's the truth. Holy Ghost don't make you look all pretty. Holy Ghost makes you look unfit. Huh? It tears you all up. Huh? I seen it throw people's teeth out their mouth. Holy Ghost do stuff like that. I seen them do it. Throw the teeth right on out the mouth. They'd be so busy trying to find love and trying to say, no, you missing the picture. Holy Ghost is trying to humble you. Holy Ghost trying to let you know, I ain't coming here to save your teeth. I came to save your soul. Let your soul cry out Jesus, right? Let that inner man cry out Jesus, right? Forget about everything around you. Forget about all of your problems and all of your cares. And put your mind on Jesus, right? Put your mind on Jesus. Put your mind on Jesus. That's true. A person can come in here with an incurable disease. Y'all believe that? Somebody can come in here with an incurable disease. And I'm going to talk to them just like I don't know nothing about them. Why? Because all I know is Jesus able. Huh? All I know is Jesus able. A man can come in here dressed like a woman. Huh? Everybody might know they're a woman. Everybody might know he's a man. But I'm still preaching to him Jesus. Why? Because I know if Jesus gets hold of his mind, the Lord will correct him. I ain't got to pull the dress off of Jesus do it. Jesus will take care of all of his issues, right? He saves you from sin, right? Jesus saves you. He saves you from sin. That's the truth. That's why I tell y'all, keep on calling. Don't you stop calling Jesus. Say, Elder Scott, I'm tired. I'm telling you, don't you stop calling Jesus. You need the Lord to save you from your sin. I'm not some of it, all of it. You don't want to stop breathing with a little bit of sin inside of you. You want the Lord to deliver you from all of this stuff. Every ungodly way. Every ungodly thought. Come on, you got to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God and say, Jesus, take it away. I don't want none of it, Lord Jesus. If it stays there, I'm a die. And I don't want to die, right? Jesus ain't coming for me to die. He came for me to live. Jesus said, I ain't coming that you might have what? Life. He ain't saying nothing about no death. He said, the only one to want you to die is that devil. Thief coming not but to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy you. But Jesus said, I'm coming that you might have what? Life. Life is in his name. Oh, yes, it is. Life is in his name. The disciples knew it. Huh? The sinners found out about it. That life was in the name. Huh?
Jesus.
Ask that man at the gate called Beautiful. Lame from his mother's womb. Huh? He asked the moms. Peter and them said, silver and gold have I none. But what do you have, Peter? I got the name of Jesus. Huh? That's true, saints. I can't fix your problems. Huh? I ain't got no programs to fix nobody's problem. All I got is the name of Jesus. Huh? The elder scatter, we called Jesus yesterday. Well, you come in here today, you're going to call him some more. Huh? We've been calling Jesus a long time, and I'm telling you right now, if the Lord let us see the next day, we're going to be calling him some more. Why? Because we need the Lord to save us. Huh? Why do you call him? Because I need Jesus to save me. I can't save myself. Huh? Do y'all have that understanding? You can't do this thing by yourself. Only one that can help you is Jesus, right? That's the truth. Who is the image of the invisible God? Firstborn of every creature. Huh? People all say, well, Adam was here. Nah. Somebody was here before Adam. Huh? The breath had to come from somebody. Huh? Somebody had to have some hands to form. Is that what the scripture says? Come on, are y'all following that? Your spirit can't put their hands in no dirt. Huh? No, spirit need a body to get into. And according to the scripture, Adam was formed. Huh? From the dust of the ground. That means God had some hands. Huh? What kind of hands did God have? He said, you better look at Jesus. You see Jesus. Huh? He was made a little lower than the angels, right? He formed Adam with his own hands. And he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. Well, where did the spirit get breath from? From that body. Huh? Come on. It could be a spirit sitting right here beside me. Y'all understand that? And I can say, breathe, spirit. That paper ain't going nowhere. Y'all understand that? What I tell you, spirits is all around you. Y'all understand that? I'm telling the spirit, wherever the spirit is at, breathe. Breathe. Now, don't you think that's moving? That's the air conditioning then. That's the air moving there. Huh? If I cut the air off, it'll stand still. Spirit needs a body in order to manifest itself. So in order for God to breathe into Adam, he had to get into a body. And when he got into a body, he breathed. He said, and Adam moved. That's the truth. Adam moved. According to the scripture, Adam became a living soul, right? That's the truth. That's why Jesus was able to look at Satan when Satan thought that he destroyed creation. And Jesus looked at Satan and said, I'm going to bruise your head. He looked at death, said, I'm going to bruise your head. And he looked at his own body and said, you are going to bruise my heel. Huh? It's going to hurt. Right?
Yeah.
Come on. Say any part of your body you hit, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
But thank the Lord it wasn't fatal.
Jesus.
Huh?
Wow.
Calvary hurt Jesus.
Yeah.
Huh? Don't you? You better believe it hurt.
It
hurt the Lord.
Yes,
it hurt the Lord down to the core of his heart.
Yeah.
To be able to look at these people that he brought into existence and look at him in their face, looking at him, saying, I helped you. I'm here for you. And they yelled out, crucify him. Crucify him. Pilate said, what wrong did he do? He didn't do nothing but feed you and heal you and help you. They yelled out the more, crucify him. Huh? Then he had these other devil getting these other people's minds. Going to take the clothes and strip them off his body. Huh?
Yeah.
Come on, men. Huh?
Yeah.
We wear clothes and everybody try to cover yourselves up.
Right.
Huh? Why? Because you don't want to be ashamed.
Right.
Somebody look at you and say they don't like what they see. And start mocking you and teasing you.
Right.
Huh? That's the truth. That's the truth. And then maybe you may think that you're the most saint of Luther. But I'm trying to tell you, that's why you got them clothes on. Because you're trying to cover yourself up. Because you don't want nobody to see your imperfections. That's why people go to these old doctors. They say, doctors, fix my imperfections. And then sometimes the doctors do all they can do. And then you just look like a mess. And you be saying, well, man, if you just would have let yourself alone from the beginning. And and just covered it up. Huh? Lord gave you clothes to cover it up, right? But look at what the people did. They stripped the clothes from Jesus. Not just stripped the clothes from him, they started mocking him. They started gambling with his garments. Huh? And Jesus had to look at this. Jesus had to look at this and they said, oh, he's supposed to be a king. A king needs a crown. Jesus ain't opened up his mouth. Just sat there and did not open up his mouth. They went and found thorns. Huh? I ain't talking about no rose bush thorns. They wanted that crown to sit up off of his head. Just like Caesar's crown sat up off of his head. So they found these long spike-like things. And they wrapped that thing around the head of God himself. Didn't just wrap it around it. They wrapped it and pushed it down in his scalp, because whether he moved to the left or to the right, they did not want his crown to fall off his head. Huh? Somebody said when they pushed that crown on his head, the blood came streaming down. Huh? Lord gave up blood for you, right? Then that wasn't enough. They said, put him up on the cross. Don't tie him, spike his hands and spike his feet. They hit his hands and hit his feet with them thorns, them spikes. Do you think God kept his mouth shut? I believe you can hear the voice of God as the pain wrapped through his body, saying, whoa, whoa, agony, pain. Scripture says in Psalms, he was groaning. Y'all understand that? Y'all ain't never been in no pain. When you're in pain, you don't sit quiet. You start to groan. Huh? Sister Scott said she was down in her knees yesterday, crying out to the Lord. But it wasn't just a regular cry. It was a groan. How do you know it was a groan? Because she felt it afterwards. Huh? That's what I'm trying to get to you. When you're down there crying out to Jesus, you need to feel the effects of it afterwards. You need to cry out to the Lord so it starts to hurt. Say, oh, the skull of my belly is hurting. Cry some more. My throat is hurting. Cry some more. My arms are heavy, Lord. Cry some more, right? You need to cry so it hurts. Huh? Don't you want to be saved? Amen. You need to cry out till it hurts. Let the Lord know just how serious you are about this salvation, right? Got up there on that cross. I'm sure the first time that first spike hit, you could hear his body cry out. Huh? You ought to hear it in your ears. Huh? Let me take a hammer to you. Huh? Let me take a hammer to a sensitive part of your body. And not just a hammer. Let me go get a good spike and put that on your skin. Huh? And then take that hammer and come down on your heart. Huh? So hard it go through your bones. Huh? Huh? And then they're going to put them on the arms and put it in his feet and then just let him lay there. They put his body up. So now you got his flesh pulling. Huh? Come on, saints. The spikes is right there. Now you got his flesh pulling. Huh? And he's in pain. He's in agony. Huh? He's starting to suffocate. Why? Because he's losing blood. Huh? You need blood to move throughout your body in order for you to breathe. Right? Huh? And the more blood he lost, the harder it was for him to breathe. He became dehydrated and said, I thirst. Huh? Now what he said on the cross, he didn't say nothing long and drawn out. He didn't complain. He didn't murmur. He said, I thirst. He didn't tell him what to get him to drink. He just let him know his need. Huh? That's it, saints. Stop getting on your knees trying to tell Jesus how to do his job. All you got to do is let him know the condition of your heart. Just say, Lord, I'm thirsty. Lord, I'm hungry, right? And let the Lord satisfy you. Huh? What did the people bring him? They brought him vinegar. Huh? So here he is now, dying of dehydration. Huh? Said it so much so that his tongue cleaved to the roof of his mouth. Huh? inside because of the blood and the water. But I'm not a fool. I'm not ignorant. I realize on my side is my bladder. Huh? And what happens from your bladder? Urine comes out. Huh? And he gave up blood and the water that was in his body. Huh? That's why I tell you the love of Jesus. You talking about Lord Elder Scudder? How deep is the love of Jesus? He emptied out all. Not some of it. He emptied out all of his blood, right?
Jesus.
Not some of it.
No.
He emptied out all of his blood.
Hallelujah,
all of his blood for what, Elder Scudder? For you.
Hallelujah.
He knew you was going to be right here with all the issues of your life. Huh? All the problems, all the cares, all the concerns. He said all this stuff that you're going to have to deal with for the rest of your life, you're going to need something to cover you. Huh? Come on, cover you from death. Cover you from disease. Cover you from disappointment. Huh? Cover you from regret. How many of you made mistakes? I made them. I done made a whole lot of them. But the blood of Jesus, huh? It's so powerful. It covers all of it. Huh? Every drop of it, it covers it. That's why the Lord said, you can go down in my water. You go down in that water in my name. And the Lord said, I will remember your sin. Far as the east is from the west, I will remember your sin no more. In other words, he'll cover you. He'll cover you, and he said he won't bring you into judgment. Huh? All of your mistakes, Lord, you just in cutting me off. Lord said, I won't bring you into judgment. Why won't you bring me into judgment? Because when I see you, I see the blood. Huh? And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
So there ain't no mistake, you are where you are. So it's got all, you should have thousands of Pope. You should have 1,000 people. We should be. Now I'm trying to tell you, folk don't want to hear a message like this. It's not good enough for them. It's not sophisticated enough for them. Huh? We don't use the words we use are too simple. Huh? Our dress, our demeanor is too modest. It's too simple. Y'all ain't doing. Y'all are uncouth. You be sitting around here singing, jumping all over the place. That just don't look right. Huh? Some of you look like you fall out on the floor. You be spitting all over yourself. It don't look right. Huh? But that's okay. I thank the Lord he put me around a group of people like that. Huh? One writer said, if I seem to be beside myself. Huh? See, everybody don't know what the Lord did for you. Everybody tell you all the time, you can be sitting around talking about, oh, such and such don't need to be praising the Lord like that. You don't know what the Lord did for that person. You don't know what the Lord bringing that person through. Oh, yes, well, the Lord tell you when you come into his house, put some blinders on your mind. Don't even look to the left or to the right. Focus on Jesus. Huh? It didn't say we see our brothers and our sisters. It said, but we see Jesus, right? So who should you be looking at? You should be seeing Jesus, right? Made a little Lord and angels just for who? For you. For what reason? For the suffering of death. Huh? That's why the Lord took on flesh. For the suffering of death. Now y'all understand this? I'm trying to tell you the way of holiness is a suffering way. Don't you come on over here thinking it's going to be a bed of roses. I'm telling you right now, stop. It's a suffering way. Huh? Family going to hate you. Friends going to turn their back on you. But you got to stick with Jesus. You going to try to tell somebody about what the Lord, you know the Lord did this for me and I'm so great. They say, I don't want to hear that mess. And you got to stick with Jesus. You got to be willing to be able to receive that way, that disregard, and still lift up your head and say, hallelujah, Jesus.
Jesus, thank you, Jesus.
This is a suffering way. You got to be willing. Huh? Yes. To be tested.
Yes.
Be willing to be tried.
Yes.
Huh? I ain't talking about by some your neighbor. I'm talking about a spirit. A spirit that is anti-Jesus. In other words, the more you call Jesus, it's a spirit that is anti-Jesus. You be down there trying to call Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That spirit be working. He'd be poking. He'd be scratching at you. Why? Because he's anti-Jesus. He don't want you to get Jesus, right? But you got to do it. You got to push yourself through it. You got to learn how to do it. Deny yourself, right? You got to be willing. Lord, get in that hand. He starts to move in that hand. You got to say, yes, Lord. You can say, I don't want nobody to see my hand moving. That's that spirit. Anti-Jesus. You got to keep your mind on Jesus and call him some more. Jesus, 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 Jesus. But my hand is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. My clothes are coming up. Call him some more. Saints know how to take care of you. That's why we got sheets all over the place. We ain't gonna let you be unseemly. But we want you to have your mind on the Lord. Put your mind on Jesus. Forget about yourself and concentrate on Jesus. Be rolling all on the floor. That's the goal. That's the goal. We get right down beside you. Say, call him. Call him with everything inside of you. Call him with everything inside of you. That spirit of anti, try to get all in your mouth. Won't let the name Jesus come out. You be calling him so long, your mouth get tired. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That spirit try to stop you from saying Jesus. Just saying, we get it all in your ear. No, call him by his name. You got to use the name of Jesus. Take your time. Don't rush. Say Jesus. See, just say Jesus. 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 Say, fall in love with Jesus, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Then that anti-spirit works some more. Start trying to make you think about all the stuff you did. Start making you all them images. Start coming all in your mind. That's why we tell you, forget about yourself. Concentrate on Jesus. See Jesus on the cross. Why? Because the blood covered all that stuff, right? Trying to make you think about all your drunk episodes. Oh yeah, yes he do. That devil make you think about all of your drunk episodes. All of your violent episodes. When you down there calling Jesus, we say, where these thoughts come from? I ain't thought about that thing years ago. But that's that anti-Jesus spirit. He's working, trying to stop your progress, right? That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's a suffering way, right? It's a suffering way. Spirit know how to work even when you all by yourself. You by yourself, problem coming, negative, negative, left, right. That anti-spirit steps in. Say, just cuss. Just cuss at it. Cuss at it and get the frustration out. Let that cuss word just come on out. Shout it. Say it with all the anger inside of you. Just cuss. That spirit don't want you to use Jesus. But if you look at that spirit and say, Jesus. See, Lord, take that cussing out of you. Why? Because he give you his name, right? I'm trying to tell you, it's a suffering way. You be on your job. Everybody be saying, well, let's go hang out, hang out, hang out, hang out. Where y'all going? Where y'all going? We going to the bar. You say, well, I'm trying to be safe. I can't go to no bar. Can't do that. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I guess you're going to be eating by yourself. Amen. Amen. Eating by yourself. Then they're going to say some more stuff to you. They think they good. They too good for us. They don't want to sit with us no more. They think they too good for us. Little goody two shoe. Oh, they don't want to listen to nothing else that we listen to no more. We're going to be by ourselves. It's a suffering way. I'm trying to tell you, saints. This is a suffering way. Enemy stand aside and say, let me afflict the body.
Let me give him a sickness. Let me put a pain in him. Huh? Didn't he do that to Job? Job's condition was so bad, his wife told him to curse God. Because she knew if he cursed God, he'll drop dead. She said, it'd be easy for you to curse God and die than to go through this life like this. Huh? The Lord, Job said, you sound like a foolish woman. Huh? In other words, I want to live. I don't want to die. That's why folks, they look at us. They say, y'all coming to church, y'all going to church, coming to church all in the midst of this virus. I ain't looking for death. I realize Jesus is my life. That's why I tell you, you looking for death, stay home. You worried about dying, stay on in your house. Stay there till Jesus come. Stay on in there. Put plastic up at your windows and everything else. Don't come out. Because I'm true. Because you go right on. That's the way you seek life. This is the way I seek it. I seek life in His name. That's the truth, saints. I seek life in His name. His name is my life. Y'all believe that, saints? His name is my life. His name has given me. I ain't talking about that stuff that I be breathing in and out. I'm talking about spiritual life. His name gave me spiritual life. How do you know you're alive, Elvis? Because I got joy in my soul. I got joy. I got joy when I'm broke. I got joy when I ain't feeling good. I got joy when don't nobody want to be bothered with me. That let me know I got life, right? And not just joy, He gave me peace. Peace. I mean contentment. The Lord just let the blessings keep on coming in. They're just flowing. But I ain't lost track. I ain't saying, well, Lord, you blessed me to get it. Amen. You ain't going to go to, no, Lord bless me to get it. Amen. We walking out the store yesterday, bags. I ain't putting near one of the stuff on yet. Because that ain't my, that's, hey. Now y'all see me coming something new, don't be, you know. Don't think I just bought it yesterday. I had it for a while. But I'm trying to let you know that ain't my priorities. I just want to come in and praise Jesus. I laugh, Brother Joe, these black shoes, you know I got a pair of brand new ones. Look, just like this with tags on. I mess around with bought the same exact shoe. It's got the tags still on it. Because Brother Joe's going to say, that shoe I got. And I laughed. I said, well, I can't looked over in the closet up there. I said, man, why don't you put them other shoes on? I said, man, if I put them on, they're going to hurt my feet. I want to feel comfortable when I get to church. I want to be sliding all across the carpet. You know, you knew, I knew shoes, your feet be sliding. Can't really get comfortable. So I said, one of these days, I'm going to just throw them on. I'm going to break them in or something. Go walk the dog to break them in or something. But I'm trying to tell you, that ain't my priorities. My priorities is not there. People look at this and say, oh, this cause you got all this stuff. I'm trying to tell you, the Lord will just open up doors and just pour it in. Yeah. Every vehicle we got. Every car we got. It just poured in. Just poured right on in. That's Jesus taking care of His people, right? I'm trying to tell you what the Lord will do for you. When in the God, we ain't got suits on sale, buy one, get two free. I said, oh man, let me get this. God, he was just talking down. He asked me, first thing he said, what you getting these suits for? And I said, well, church. He said, oh, you go to church? He said, okay, hold on 1 second. I'm going to take some extra money off for you. I said, amen. Thank the Lord for you, brother. I was fine with it. You know, what the sale price was good enough for me. I told my wife, I said, baby, I ain't never had no free suits for this price right here. But the Lord take care of you. Lord do that for you. If Scripture says, if you walk up right before Him, no good thing will He do what? Walking up right before Him, meaning you got to see the errors of your own ways.
And you got to be willing to humble yourself. Every now and then you got to go back to the altar and say, Lord, I'm off track. Jesus, get me back on track. Oh, and I mean, call him. Call him. Don't get down there talking hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, right? Why? Because that's the saving name, right? And I need to be saved from all of my sin, right? Not just some of it, all of it. Huh? As I knew something was a little off. Supervisor sent me something, sent me a message, and that thing bottled up in there. I said, who she think she is telling me to do something like this? I get to it. And I walked off. She ain't saying nothing about back to me. I said, oh. I said, that don't even sound like no saint. She's trying to tell you to do something. And she is your supervisor. But that thing bottled up in me. You know, you ain't got no right to tell me to be doing it. I do it when I get ready to do it. I got to 15 days to get it done. You know, because that's the rule. I know law. I know the rules. Rules say you got 15 days to process that application. And because she want her that thing was just going on in my, she want her dashboard cleaned all up. She want me to do my stuff quick. I got 15 days to do this. Things bottled on. I was having a conversation with who? Nobody but me. I'm trying to tell you how serious this thing is. Y'all understand? Right. Suffering way, right?
Right.
Then I said, Elder, I said, get out your high horse. Who you think you are? That's your supervisor. Yeah. I was jealous. I said, she younger than me. I know more than her. Sick of this old job. I mean, I was having all kinds of conversations with myself. And again, who was I talking to? Nobody but me. I said, whoa. I realized, I said, I got to deal with this thing. Deal with this thing. Because I heard this thing is in me. What y'all say, that little fella, he was in me. And he has some boldness. Huh? Thank the Lord I was working remotely. You know, I didn't have that attack while I was at this because I know me. I get the itchies. And I'll find myself in your office with the door shut. And we'll have a nice little conversation. But the Lord said, no, you need to deal with that little no good thing inside of you. Because you done stepped out of line. You forgot who you are. That's the true thing. Now, I know if I deal with it, I know you deal with it. And if you're not careful, it will cause you to go down a path of regret. You're going to say stuff. You're going to do stuff that you should not do. It'll be out of character for you. You know who you are. By nature, I'm a good person. You know, I'm a good, calm, peaceful, jolly person. But I know that's in me is a no good thing. That thing inside of me is evil. It's cutthroat. It's nasty. Huh? Y'all understand that? I'm being serious. My wife know it. She's been married to me long enough to know when a no good thing come up. Thank the Lord she got the Holy Ghost because she tell me, I don't think you praying enough. I don't care what you say. I don't care. You quote all the scriptures you want to quote. I don't think you praying enough. And she walk on about her business. And I be saying, who she thinks she is? I'm your pastor, right? But she telling the truth. Because she sees something that's out of what? Character. Right? Thank the Lord you got buddies like that in your life, right? Them the kind of people you need to keep around you. I ain't talking about folk that's going to help you do wrong. She could have very easily looked at me when I did all my stuff and said, what's your supervisor say? What? They don't know who you are? She didn't give me none of that. She know how to do that. She know how to do it. But she didn't give me none of that. I ain't even tell her about that no way, but, you know. I'm done. I told y'all I done got off track. I told y'all all the time. Y'all just keep bringing your papers. We're going to get to it after a while. We're going to get into it after a while. My intentions be good, but every now and then, the Lord knows we need to hear something. He knows what we need. Take the food. Take it. And let the Lord develop you into who you need to be. All right? Don't ever listen to anything I'm saying as though it's just something you know out there. It's a reason. It's a reason that whatever went forward today, because that wasn't my intention. My intention was to stay in Romans chapter number 6. But something was said that was needful. So take what it was said and learn from it. Let the Lord, as I said, what did I say the other Sunday? Don't be skinny spiritually.
Right.
You know, you 400 or 500 pounds, you know, naturally. But you just a skinny mini. You a size zero spiritually. Huh? I don't know, size zero. Zero, I guess, is small. You don't want to be no size zero spiritually.
Right?
You want to be good and healthy.
Right?
That's true. You want to be good and healthy, saints. So let the Lord's word do what? Feed you. Scripture says that give us this day our what? Daily bread is his what? Is his word. It's his word. As I said, it's not wonder bread. It's his word. It's his word. All right? All right, church, y'all got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart, you may not sin against Jesus.